There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Folks, I'm sure that you've heard by now that Taylor Swift is coming to town on the 25th, 26th, 27th, 23 days away. We're just one of a not that many cities, 23 U.S. cities nationwide, that were included on her tour. And we are joined by Walt Leger, president and CEO of New Orleans & Company. Walt, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Noel. It's always great to be with you.
I wanted to cover this first because you have provided some data of the impact of a Taylor Swift concert in major cities across this country that I think will just blow people's minds as to the spin that she brings to a municipality.
Yeah, it's absolutely astounding. You know, by the end of 2023 last year, she was less than halfway through her scheduled 152 show run, and the tour had earned $1 billion in revenue, the highest grossing concert ever. And it's estimated that the total economic impact globally will exceed $10 billion, which is just absolutely unbelievable. Of course, you mentioned there were 23 cities across the country that had hosted or will host Taylor Swift. And, you know, some data that's been, you know, provided out of Los Angeles, for example. Now, they had six shows in Los Angeles, but those six shows estimated to result in a $320 million bump in Los Angeles County's gross domestic product. Employment increased by 3,300 and local earnings by over $160 million. Denver, two concerts, visitor spending in excess of $140 million. Pittsburgh, two concerts generated $46 million in direct spending, with 83% of those attending coming from outside of the city. So accounting for record hotel room rates in that city, and also, like we talk about, everybody's favorite tax revenue, that those that come out of the pockets of people from other places that help enhance the quality of life and the infrastructure in those places. So that's just a couple of results, and we're obviously very excited about the opportunity we have to host.
Things look like they're lining up well, too, with the improvements around the dome, the appearance, obviously the dome being renovated, ready to go. Saw it for the other day during the Eagles game. Really got to look around and see a lot of what was done. It was beautiful. And new seating opportunities for concerts as well. I think we're set up nicely for a big impact for the city.
Well, yeah, and, you know, we had Beyonce last year, which is another one of the, you know, world's largest artists and most important events out there. We definitely want to continue to establish ourselves as preeminent and a preeminent location for these events. So the infrastructure matters, the appearance matters, the functionality matters, and the Superdome continuing along its now 50-year career of hosting some of the most iconic events out there. This is another one and a crowning achievement for the Superdome, and it's such a great asset for our community. It continues to be a really attractive place for these types of events.
Walt, help me out here. I'm just kind of curious. Concerts, you know, the Dome is a unique facility. It's in the inner city. You don't see many like this, right? There are a few, but not many, that you can walk to so many hotel rooms. Is the approach of these concert promoters kind of the same as like the Super Bowl folks with the NFL? They like the fact that you can walk to the event, and there's, you know, makes it a lot easier and a much better fan experience?
I think the promoters and producers of the event and the artists themselves appreciate that, because it creates the environment that they only get to sort of enjoy in a place like this, where it's so convenient and walkable. We continually are recognized as one of the most walkable cities, and certainly these kind of entertainment venues that we've got have made these events even more special, and I expect the same to happen here, where you just have this like festival-type environment that surrounds it. We benefit greatly from the foresight of those who came before us and who laid out the entertainment venues and in the city the way that they did. It's really helped the city to grow and continue to be among the most popular places for these events and so many others.
So we're approaching, let's pivot really quick. We're approaching the sunset of NOLA by NOLA. It started on September 26th. It carries through October 6th. Obviously, this will be the last big weekend and a lot of big shows coming our way, right?
Yeah, it's a great event. It's an exciting event. More than 300 performances at over 50 venues across the city and during those 11 days. Some special celebration kickoff the last couple of days, and some great events coming over the next few days. A Tippett Foundation music celebration of Stevie Wonder over at Tippettina's, which will be led by Cornell Williams, Stan Moore, Rich Vogel, and numerous New Orleans dignitaries celebrating the 70s era Stevie Wonder. We've got a great conference powered by Relix here. On October 3rd through October 4th, which is an industry conference. We've got a tribute to Alan Toussaint on the 5th, and there are just dozens and dozens of other performances. So obviously we want to drive people over to neworleans.com, NOLA by NOLA, to check out the full list of performances. A great chance to celebrate music in our community and the musicians who make it.
And we have, there's no shortage of things to do this weekend. We got the Chicken Festival this weekend, October 5th and 6th, and Art for Art's Sake on the 5th as well. It's just, if the weather cooperates, there's so many different things to do.
And what's not to love about National Fried Chicken Fest? I mean, all the fried chicken you can eat.
You got to love it. In fact, I think our own Michael Hex could be spinning platters out there.
I'm looking forward to trying to get out there too, and as you said, as long as the weather cooperates, should be a really great event. I think I love the fact that it's been, you know, continued to grow and expand and attract people in to want to be a part of it.
You know, it's going to be interesting to see with Taylor Swift being so close to Halloween, if there's like a cross-pollinization. There's a lot going on. You know, we have the Crew of Boo on the 19th of October, which is has grown in size, and obviously Oktoberfest as well starts on the 11th and runs through the 26th, which is one of the nights that Taylor Swift will be here. So we got a lot going on.
We've got Treme Fall Fest on the 25th. You've got Oak Street Po' Boy Fest on the 27th. And really, I think, you know, given the fact that Halloween falls midweek, I expect that the 25th, 26th, 27th are going to be some of the prime time for people to celebrate Halloween this year. So it's definitely going to coincide with the concert. I think it'll add even more. I know a lot of people dress up for these concerts. And certainly you will expect, as normal in New Orleans, a lot of costumes to celebrate Halloween. So I think those things will cross up. It'll be a lot of fun. This city continues to be a place where people want to come celebrate Halloween year in and year out. And so the weather is usually so nice. And it's just a great place to celebrate that. I think this year it's going to be even more, more exciting to be a part of New Orleans. I expect restaurants will be packed and downtown will be pretty busy. And everybody will be in the best mood, to be able to celebrate all of it all at once.
Let's pivot again, Walt. I hadn't heard anything about this, but you provided information about six New Orleans hotels earned coveted Michelin keys. I know for international travel, that's really a big designation, right?
Well, the Michelin Guide has been celebrated for decades as the preeminent guide that rates restaurants and demonstrates their excellence. And they're also famous for the secret judging, right? So they have judges that go into restaurants and are basically secret shoppers, and nobody really knows who they are or when they're there. They're looking for signs of excellence. They've expanded. Michelin has expanded into the hotel side of things and has recently started awarding Michelin keys, one key being a designation of excellence as it relates to architecture and interior design, quality and consistency of service, overall personality and character, value for the price, and significant contribution to the guest experience in a particular setting. And so six of our hotels have been designated with that coveted one key designation by Michelin Guide. Those are the Hotel Peter and Paul, the Columns Hotel, Pontchartrain Hotel, the Celestine, Hotel St. Vincent, and Maison Metier, which is formerly Maison de la Luz. And so obviously we're thrilled. These are really important properties. We're excited for the staff, the ownership, the teams that run those facilities. Glad that they've gotten the recognition that they deserve, and excited that they elevate the city of New Orleans by receiving such a great honor.
Have they been able to? I had read an article that, especially with this new service that Michelin Guide is doing, that international travelers really kind of pay attention to the Michelin Guide. Is that true or not?
Yeah, it's certainly respected internationally, and I think coveted because of that, right? The global recognition of excellence of the restaurants that are designated. So we're hopeful that as time goes on, they have not always been present in the restaurant world in every community across the United States. They've picked and choose some cities. We're hopeful that they'll engage with us as we go forward. But yes, this is, it's certainly a guide that is recognized internationally as a symbol of excellence in service, excellence in quality of food, and excited to see our hotels get in on that. We've actually partnered with Michelin this year to create a travel guide that they'll be producing in January in France. So it's actually in French and published in France, will be distributed in France. It's a Michelin guide to the city of New Orleans, and we were excited that they asked and that we were able to partner with them to create a really amazing guide on how to enjoy New Orleans when you're here, and to have that distributed to our, to the country of France and to those potential visitors.
I got to imagine that had some connection to when President Macron visited here, right? I mean, there was a lot of hoopla generated as a result of that.
It definitely created some excitement, and I think that those types of visits mean a lot. I expect that there'll be some economic investments and other partnerships that emerge. I know that part of that conversation and visit was about working with the nation of France between experts here in Louisiana and their experts on how to address climate change and other resiliency matters that impact communities, not just here, but across the world. We were excited to host Bocuse d'Or, the America's Championship, last year. And yeah, I believe that the visit prompted some of that, the interest and the renewed connection between our country and the nation of France, but particularly between our city and the nation of France, the historic ties. All of those mean something, and we try to capitalize on them when we can. It's a great thing. Actually, the Saints have also been designated as focusing particularly on the nation of France to help build the NFL brand overseas. And so there are a number of different connection points and work that's being done to continue to build visitorship from France to the United States, and also just economic ties and connections that we can foster and strengthen. So, yeah, great opportunity. And I think the visit had a lot to do with highlighting that.
Yeah. And also, let's finish out while we were talking about hotels. Forbes magazine named their top 15 hotels in New Orleans as well, some of the same as Michelin, right?
Yes. Forbes is a trusted source and magazine and publication that names and provides awards as well. And so we were excited to have their recent designation of the top 15 hotels in New Orleans. And these are the types of things that our PR team is working on constantly, trying to make sure that we get the attention that we deserve and that we get the recognition that we deserve, because these are the kind of things that people read and then are attracted to visit. And, you know, so we work with USA Today, we work with Travel and Leisure, we work with so many of these publications trying to get attention, and very proud of the recognition that that our hotels continue to receive.
The Ritz-Carlton, the Henry Howard Hotel, the Celestine, the Windsor Court, Virgin Hotel, the Roosevelt, Royal Sonesta, the Chloe, the Pontchartrain, the Meridian, Hotel St. Vincent, Hotel Montleon, Hotel Peter and Paul, again, Maison Metier, that's a crossover as well, and 111 Hotel came out on top. So a lot of great things happening there, and another, you know, big recognition for the city.
Absolutely. Great to have them all celebrated, and we're definitely proud of how well they host our guests to the city and how important they are to the meetings industry as well. So many of our meetings are happening in-house at these hotels, and service matters, excellence matters, and confidence in the product matters, because these are business meetings and they need to go well, and the community delivers on those promises. So we're really grateful.
Real quick, I know that there's an early fall 2024 a messaging guide from the U.S. Travel Association, and biometrics was kind of at the top of the list there, that 4 out of 5 American travelers embrace the use of biometrics at airport security, which is would make it a lot easier, right?
Yeah, look, these are among the technologies that we're pursuing nationally with the U.S. Travel Association and with our partners in the federal government. You know, it's become a lot more common to utilize the biometric technology, not unlike what we've gotten used to on our telephones to unlock our smartphones. And people trust it. People understand that it speeds things up. And interestingly, U.S. travelers continue to be satisfied overall with the TSA experience, but they're also looking for as many ways as possible to make that process go faster. And so utilizing that sort of technology to keep us secure and safe, but also to move people more rapidly through the process, is something that is at the top of the list of travelers. And I think people in the travel industry, of course, recognize that the experience matters. Making it as seamless as possible is really critical.
Where are we with passports? I've been reading that there's been some improvement. Is that the case?
Yeah, so great improvement on the passport side, and great service being provided as it relates to Americans renewing or getting passports to be able to travel. One of the challenges that we continue to really struggle with, though, is addressing the backlog on visitor visas. So many of the countries around the world, we require them, the visitors, to obtain a visa. So they have to apply and receive authority to visit our country. And typically something like that should take 30 days or less. But in some countries, it's in excess of 260 days, some well beyond 260 days. And so what that means is that you've got to be so far in advance of your travel to even be able to get an interview that it makes it impractical for you to visit the United States. And so we are losing our share of international visitation as it relates to competitive nations around the world. And we've really got to address this. So, you know, our goal is we've addressed this in the past. Federal government stepped in, provided some additional support for the agencies involved, and has been able to get that visa wait time to a manageable level. We're hoping that they will do so again, set some goals, make sure that they're able to process these closer to 30 days in advance of travel. Again, prioritizing safety, but also utilizing technology to be able to drive success in this area. It means billions of dollars to the economy, and it's important. Again, we're talking about bringing in money from foreign nations and with these foreign visitors, and them leaving those dollars behind here in the United States. So it is important that we get back to a place where we are bringing more people in than we are sending out. And before the pandemic, we were consistently had a surplus in that trade, but we are currently a little bit behind. And so more Americans are globally traveling than we're bringing in. We've got to address it. Technology is a big part of that.
It's just frustrating that the priority set never seems to get right. I mean, I just don't understand.
Yeah, they're no doubt.
I mean,
they're digging into some things right now on rewards programs with airlines and other things like that. And we're losing focus on filling air traffic control vacancies and, trying to keep travel on time and on track and how we get people in and out securely and seamlessly. You know, I mean, it's a massive part of the economy. It means something for business travel that's really critical. And we need to make sure that we're a country that that makes freedom of travel a priority. We understand their security and we all support that. But let's also be efficient so that we can be a leader in international travel again. That's just got to happen, and it's just too important to allow it to be taken off track by things that are solvable.
Absolutely. As always, Walt Leger, we appreciate your time, your insight, President and CEO of New Orleans & Company. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. Always great to be with you. Thank you, Noel.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. We'll visit with Clancy Dubose, political editor and columnist for Gamut and WWL New Orleans political analyst, about the indictment of Randy Farrell and the implication of Mayor Cantrell in that indictment. We'll be right back.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Welcome back, folks. And I did forget to mention there's something else to do this weekend. Gretna Fest, 3 days, six stages, 60 acts. Some of my favorite Steve Miller Band, Blue Oyster Cult, and many, many more. Check it out this weekend as well. We are joined by Clancy Dubose, political editor and columnist for Gambit and WWL New Orleans political analyst. Clancy, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Newell. It's always great to be with you and your listeners.
Clancy, a 25-count indictment with charges of fraud and conspiracy to commit fraud relative to businessman Randy Farrell. And throughout that indictment, there are references to other individuals, but one being public official number one that seems to implicate the mayor.
It does more than seem. I mean, I don't think there's anybody on the planet who could be public official one. And directly / indirectly referenced as public official one in an indictment, a federal indictment, alleging, you know, fraud of some sort. But this one, the first one, of course, was when her former bodyguard, Jeffrey Vappi, former retired police officer Jeffrey Vappi, who the feds flat out say was in a romantic relationship with the mayor, was indicted for what amounts to payroll fraud, but they used wire fraud because it's a more all-encompassing charge, and it I think it may carry additional penalties like seizures and forfeitures. And now, in the Vappi indictment, I'm just going to cover that quickly. It was not crystal clear. They didn't flat out say the mayor knew or participated in. You could read that into it, but reading that indictment, you would conclude, I think, that former officer Vappi would have to testify against the mayor. But in the current indictment, or the latest indictment, I should say, of businessman Randy Farrell, it flat out says that there was a quid pro quo and that businessman one, who is Fred Zaton, according to numerous sources, who was a business partner of Farrell, was the go-between between Farrell and the mayor. And you know, Zaton supplied, Farrell paid for, and Zaton, according to the feds, allegedly delivered the quid, and the mayor provided the quo by firing a person in the, I think it's a mid-level manager, Ms. Cecil, who was raising questions about Mr. Farrell's business practices, his company's business practices. So there is a real, it lays it out and it puts the mayor in the middle of it without actually indicting her.
And I guess one of the things that they talk about is that Ms. Cecil, her departure from the city was in November. And I got to imagine that that would set the prescriptive date or the statute of limitations on any action against Mayor Cantrell as it relates to that date. A lot of folks were talking about August before, and it turns out it may be a November date. Kind of it feels like this.
You can look at it that way, and I certainly, that was my first impression, but I was reminded by a friend of both of ours, Joe Responte, who's the legal analyst for Fox 8 News here in New Orleans, that the game, the 17 tickets, the last overt act in this alleged conspiracy was the mayor accepting the tickets and going to the game, the Saints playoff game, in January. So it's possible that it could even be a January date if you go by the last overt act. And we don't know if that's the extent of it. Were there other things that they haven't revealed yet? We don't know.
And that's what I keep saying, because folks keep asking me, and I said, there's only one thing I know for sure, is that the feds know more than we know, and they'll let us know on their timeline, not on anybody else's timeline, right? So that's a better bet than Secretariat. I mean, so I don't know.
And you know what? That's the way it should be. We shouldn't know everything they know, because if we do, then stuff is leaking out that shouldn't leak out. So.
Yeah, because there's a grand jury involved, obviously, and that's supposed testimony and evidence there is supposed to be secret. But it does seem that the series of concentric circles are kind of tightening down on possibly the mayor and maybe others within city administration.
Yeah, for the first time, to my knowledge and to anybody else's knowledge that I've spoken to, and I've spoken to quite a few people about this, there's public official two, who is Chief Administrative Officer Gilbert Montaño, who had never been implicated or, to my knowledge, even accused of being associated with any kind of unseemly conduct. And there's only one reference to him, really, which is that he, and I can't remember, so please correct me, I don't know if he requested or was offered and accepted like two or three tickets to a game. I think it was one of the NCAA college championship games, which also occurred in January of 2019, I believe. So, this is, I think the request came in December or something like that, or November. But again, if you're trying to loop somebody into a federal conspiracy, the last overt act would be accepting the tickets and going to the game. And the level, that's something I pointed out in my column, and I'm sure you pointed that out as well, Newell. The feds don't always let you know exactly how much they know, even when they're revealing what they know. They don't necessarily tell you how they know it. But in this case, it's crystal clear that they have tapped into texts, emails, and even photographs. And, one of the things that I pointed out, it's not in the indictment, but it's just something to, and this gets released to Mr. Montaño. He said, look, I'm not going to sell out my integrity for a football ticket or a couple of football tickets. But the problem there is, even if he is never indicted and never accused of any wrongdoing, it speaks to the culture at City Hall. And the mayor's communications director yesterday said, you know, there's a lot of gray area here. If somebody buys you a cup of coffee, I don't think anybody's going to consider that, you know, or a sandwich. That's one thing. But when it's a cumulative thing and, you know, it involves meals, an iPhone, even though the iPhone, according to the indictment, was given back weeks later or a month or two later, It's just these little freebies that you know, some of these freebies will go beyond, you know, a ham sandwich or a cup of coffee, you know, and, you know, so one or two tickets to the Saints game. Well, maybe, but that might be okay if we're all just being friends. But if it's 17 tickets to the NFC Championship game, I mean, how much were those tickets going for on StubHub or other, you know, secondary market sites? I wonder. So, you know, it's well, to add up.
The other thing is,
so great to me.
The thing that I find the most obnoxious here is that what's being bargained for allegedly is someone else's livelihood, right? As you pointed out, a mid-level management person that sounds like doing the right thing, uncovers yep. something that doesn't seem copacetic, and, you know, brings it to her supervisor, and that supervisor does something with it, and then when that supervisor's challenged, he leaves. He quit.
Yeah.
Because he's like, so, I don't want to be any part of this.
Yeah. Exactly. And we're talking, that's where the feds relates to, and you're more familiar than I am with this because you've been in law enforcement, but, you know, the honest services aspect mm-hmm. of fraud, which is basically a sweeter way of saying public corruption is what it is. It's public corruption. But there's an even bigger vice in here that I referred to, and I believe I might be the only one who's talked about it, although you may have, because I'm flattered that you read my column. You know, I ended my column in the Picayune yesterday by saying, you know, the real vice of all this is the hundreds of homes and buildings and thousands of New Orleanians, members of the public, who are now endangered by having substandard work approved. How do they know? The walls are closed in. You know, and there's inspections that were done, allegedly done fraudulently. If the feds prove their case and everything in the indictment is true, that's an if, then the mayor sold out people's safety for football tickets and an iPhone and a steak and maybe a few other, you know, little goodies. And that's petty graft for putting people's lives in danger. You know, that to me, that's the real vice here.
You have to be,
and all the corruption isn't bad enough. That is bad. That's
right.
Already serious. But putting public corruption that puts people's lives in danger, this from the same department that had a problem, and it was some, and I think there were even some indictments, and they'll correct me because my memory fades a little bit on this, in the Hard Rock Cafe where people died. What would have happened if that Hard Rock Cafe had not, Hard Rock Hotel, forgive me, a Hard Rock
right.
Hotel collapsed. If that, and that happened on LaToya Cantrell's watch in, you know, in her first term with people in her Department of Safety and Permits. What if it had been completed and it had collapsed 3 years later with a hotel full of people in here for the Super Bowl or the Sugar Bowl or Mardi Gras?
Or the,
you know,
or the Taylor Swift concert with
yeah,
all
exactly.
kinds of kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, this, you know, that is one
now,
of the most, next to the police.
It's going to be interesting to see.
The Department of Safety and Permits is the most, I'm sorry, let me just say this one thing.
Yeah,
next
go ahead.
To police and fire and EMS, the Department of Safety and Permits probably is the most important and crucial public safety department in city government.
No doubt. The utility of that department is huge. It's going to be interesting, don't you think, to find out whether or not in any of these texts or emails or whatever communications, whether anybody said, so what are we actually complaining about? That somebody's doing their job and making sure that these inspections are done appropriately and we're not having conflicts? I mean, I'm kind of curious whether or not anyone brought that up to the mayor. You know,
well, I suspect when the person, and I think it was Supervisor One, perhaps, no, the person to whom Ms. Cecil complained,
yeah.
that person quit in what appears to be a statement of ethics and honor, integrity, and Ms. Cecil, I'm not sure if you pronounce it Cecil or Cecil, but...
Yeah.
She was allowed to take her vacation, and that got her supervisor in trouble. You know, according to the
yeah.
indictment, the mayor fussed and said, no, I want her fired right now or whatever. And, you know, it's just, it's, You know, so I got to believe that the supervisor and the lady who was fired, Ms. Cecil, at least said something. And apparently, certainly you could draw the conclusion, if it's not in the indictment already, among the allegations, that she wrote, you know, she complained. She wrote.
She went to the IG.
That's the kind of thing that you put in writing, right? You
know, yeah.
If you or I were her lawyer, we'd say put it in writing, you know, and date it and sign it, you know, and send it to the IG or to whoever.
No doubt. So. For sure. That would be the recommendation. Thank you so much for joining us. We've run out of time. I apologize, Clancy Dubos. Thank you for joining us, political editor and columnist for Gambit and WWL, New Orleans political analyst as well. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. If you want to be in that number when the Saints host Tampa Bay or when Sean Payton and Denver come to town, enter to win WWL's Double Saints Game Day giveaway. Score a pair of premium game tickets to both games, plus VIP tailgate passes from the Bullseye Event Group, open bar, premium liquor, all-you-can-eat buffet from celebrity chef Aaron May, all overlooking Champion Square. Winning is easy. Go to WWL.com/contest for your chance to win tickets to Saints Tampa Bay and Saints Denver from Dudley DeBosier, official injury lawyers of the Saints and WWL. And, folks, Dave Cohen's in for Scoot today, and he's going to be talking about, do you know anybody who's panic buying because of the dock worker strike? Some say toilet paper and paper towels are starting to fly off the store shelves already. And is there anything you'd panic about if your supply got low? Any product that you need or love so much that you can't do without it? Joe and Dave Cohen in for Scoot this afternoon. He's up next, 1 to 4 on WWL, and you can do our replay on the Odyssey app as well. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. Breaking news from yesterday. You know, if you're a citizen, you get arrested. If you're here illegally, not so much. The U.S. Marshals Service announced a month-long nationwide mission to capture violent fugitives. They arrested 3,400 suspects wanted on murder, rape, and robbery charges, thanks to the U.S. Marshals Service.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.